Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. I do believe it tried to snow a wee bit last night. At least it appeared like that on my lawn. And of course the weather forecast people had indicated that there might well be snow. So, as you go out on your walk today, it'll be nice and brisk and you'll be glad to get the exercise and keep warm. We're turning to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and the chapter 11, way towards the end of the Bible. We want everybody to be able to see where we're reading. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're reading from the very first verse, just a few verses now. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. May the Lord bless the reading of these few verses to all of our hearts. Last week, we considered two names that are not here, and which perhaps we might expect to be here at the beginning of this chapter, and that was Adam and Eve. Instead, they're skipped, and God starts with a reference to their son, Abel. We sought to try and explain at least what I believe is the reason why these two names are absent. I think Adam and Eve were so overshadowed by the dreadfulness of their sin and what it brought into the world that they never really got out from under that disgrace. Oh, they were saved. Adam and Eve, I believe, are in heaven. But they never really enjoyed, I think, a life of victory and triumph. But they had to live with the shame of what it was they did. You just think of Adam and Eve. Now, Adam lived for a long time, nearly 1,000 years. And every tear that he would have seen on the cheek of a baby, or the tear on the face of an adult, every time he heard an angry word, every time he saw people doing wrong, he would have said, it's my fault, my sin, my disobeying God has brought all this misery into the world. So I believe it's easy to understand how Adam would have lived under that dreadful cloud. And so, as God is listing here the triumphs of faith in the life of his people, there's a bypassing and overlooking of Adam and Eve, and a starting with Abel. At the beginning of this chapter 11, I think it's necessary for me to say something about the early verses. There is the word faith. Now, faith. This chapter's all about faith. Of course, you will find in the Bible a lot of references to faith. It's explained, it's illustrated, we're shown what it means here and there and everywhere throughout the Bible. But here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it particularly is the focus. My counting of the word in this chapter has resulted in me finding it mentioned 23 times. Now, you might be able to just check that and you might find I'm wrong. But I found the word faith 23 times in this chapter. And then, of course, there are other words associated with faith, like believe, which also appear many times. So, it's all about faith, this chapter. Now, I want you to notice, please, if you look at the verse 1, that the writer, who's Paul defines what faith is. He explains it. Look at what he says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read that again and put in a little word or two that perhaps will help you to understand what is said here. Now, faith is the substance, that is, the very foundation of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof of things not seen. We hope to see in our lives that which God has promised in His Word on the basis that we believe what God has said. We have built in our lives much that is based upon the foundation of faith. Everything you are as a Christian is the result of what you believe. How we behave, how we speak, where we go, what we do, how we live is based on the fact that you believe God. We're different from the folks out there. We're different in how we speak. We're different in how we live. We're different in every aspect of life because they do not believe what they read in the Bible. And consequently, they live a very different lifestyle. But because we believe, we live as we do. Way back in the days of Noah, Noah was told a flood was coming, and he believed God. And he built an ark to the saving of himself and his family. The rest of the world didn't believe. And no doubt he endured many sneering laughs and jokes at his expense. Just imagine what it would have been like. He was talking about that which was coming upon the world, which the people had never seen. It had never rained on the earth until the flood. So he was saying that something is going to happen that has never happened before. And the people were saying, what are you talking about? This rain, this flood. We have never seen anything like it. There's never been anything in the experience of man of that which you're speaking about. We don't believe you. Now, you're saying something similar. You're saying, as a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again to this earth, and everybody who does not believe in His atoning death, who is not washed in His blood, they're going to hell. And only those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb are going to heaven. You say that. And people say, what are you talking about? We don't see anything of this. And so they reject the gospel. And you are today, where every person who ever believed God has been in the ages past. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. You are living evidence of what is going to come on this earth. Your living testimony, your witness among men is an evidence, a proof, a manifestation, a showing of that which is to come in this earth. Men, in order to shut out the testimony of God, they close their Bibles, they throw them away. There's tens of thousands of houses in this land, in Ulster, and there's no Bible. Do you believe that? I find it hard because, you see, I was brought up in an Ulster in which I think I can say there was a Bible in every home. But that's not so now. That's not so now. So many people don't believe the Bible. They don't have a Bible. They never think of the Bible. They certainly don't read the Bible. You know, even in churches, the Bible's not preached. In many of the churches. In fact, the very opposite of the Bible is preached. So in a land where the Bible has almost disappeared, you are a walking evidence of God's truth. For you live out the Bible. You seek to practice the Bible. And it's important for us to learn that. So we have faith defined here. And maybe I could give you a very nice little definition or picture of faith. If we spell out faith, F-A-I-T-H, listen to what it has to say to us. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Now, each of the first letters of those words spell out faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's what faith is. And if you have faith today, you've turned your back on every notion that man has ever invented. And you say, I reject them all, and I'm trusting in what God says. That's faith. That's faith. There's a wee chorus. It'd be nice to be able to sing it. Maybe you do sing it. It starts off, Faith is just believing what God says He will do. That's another nice definition of faith. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. I hope that you bear that in mind. Now, we not only have faith defined here, but throughout the chapter we have faith demonstrated. You know, boys and girls, it's ever God's way to not only set out in words the teaching of His truth, but then He paints pictures. He paints pictures. And not one of us but likes books that have pictures in them illustrating what it is we're reading. That is so much easier. Well, God started that long, long, long before anybody ever did. Because God fills His word with pictures. And in this chapter, we have pictures. And God says, look at Abel. There's a picture of what faith is. And then He goes right down all the great names of the men and the women whose lives you're familiar with. And God is saying, just look at their lives. And you will see faith illustrated. So then, I want to come to what it is we have regarding Abel, and I'll have to be quick. Let me start off by saying, all who are going to heaven have faith. Did you hear that? All who are going to heaven have faith. And I could put it another way, only those who have faith are going to heaven. That's an important truth, boys and girls, for us to lay hold on. Look at what verse 6, we didn't read verse 6, but look at what it says. Verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's God. Do you think there will be anybody in heaven who doesn't please God? No. And the only way to please God is to have faith, is to believe Him. Therefore, I say again, only those who have faith in God are going to go to heaven. It's important for us to learn that, and it stands out clearly in this chapter. I'm going to ask you each one, have you faith in God? Do you believe God? Do you? Oh, answer the question in your heart. Take note of it. Have you faith in God? Don't be mistaken about what I'm talking about. I believe there is a person called Mr. Putin. He's the president, if I have the right title, of Russia. But I don't believe in him. I believe he exists, but I don't believe in what he stands for, in what he teaches. I don't believe in anything about him. I believe he exists, but I don't believe or hold his views. Now, there's a difference, you see, in believing in God in the sense that, oh yes, I believe God exists. But the thing is, do you believe what God says? And do you trust Him? Do you rest in Him? Do you depend upon Him? That's the difference. Don't just think it's enough, oh yes, I believe there's a God. That's not enough. The devil believes there's a God. Do you know that? If the devil could bring himself to admit it, he would say, oh yes, I believe God. Indeed, it's written in the book of James, the devils believe and fear God. But they're not saved. Because believing in that God exists is not the same as trusting in Him as your Savior. Those who crucified the Lord Jesus believed that the Lord Jesus lived. They believed that He existed. They believed He was a person. But they didn't trust Him as their Savior. So be sure that you have that faith which is spoken of here. Then secondly, it was by faith that the Old Testament saints we read of here in this chapter were well spoken of. If you look, please, at the verse 2 of chapter 11, it says, for by it, that is, by faith, the elders, those who lived long ago, obtained a good report. Well, you know all about reports, don't you? At the end of the term, or the end of the year, there's a report which you have to bring home to Mommy and Daddy. And if you've done well, the report will say so. Well, the old people, the Abrahams, the Sarahs, the Moses, the Davids, etc., etc., that's who's spoken of here, they obtained a good report because they believed God. Those who believe God, in the Old Testament, and of course it's still the same today, are well spoken of by God because they believe in him. The Lord Jesus says to those who believe in him, you're my brothers, you're my sisters, you're part of my family because you believe in me. There was an occasion when his mother and his brethren were outside of a great crowd that were listening to the Savior, and word was sent to him, your mother and your brethren are outside trying to see you. And he turned round and he said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he just said, all those who believe in me. So if you believe the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will speak well of you. He calls you his child. He calls you his child. Let me tell you something else. By faith, we understand what unsaved men cannot understand. You here today, right down to the very youngest, are better educated than many of the professors in places like Cambridge, Oxford, and other great centers of learning. You're better educated than they are, because it says so here. Look again, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, made, constructed, completed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We understand how the world and all the stars, the sun, the moon, all of the universe, we understand how they came about. Those professors that I refer to, they don't understand. They don't understand. And the proof of the fact that they don't understand is that you will find them engaged in, and if not actually engaged in, watching very closely those who are constantly digging holes in the ground to see what they can turn up that might explain how we all came to be. That's what they're forever doing, turning up the bones of ancient animals and, oh, let's have a look at this, maybe this will tell us how we came into existence. And if they're not digging holes in the ground, they're sending rockets away up into space to take pictures of distant planets and send the information back to Earth, all trying to explain how did we come into existence. But you don't dig holes in the ground. You're not interested in what rockets find up in space, because you know, you know, you understand how everything came into existence. By faith, you know. By faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. The very opening chapter of the Bible tells us how everything was created by God out of nothing in 6 days. And you say, there you are. That's where all the dinosaurs came from. That's where all those animals, the bones of which men dig up, that's where they all came from. God made them. God made them. So I say again, you're better educated than those titled fools who hold high positions in the world of education and are looked upon with admiration by millions. You're better educated than them. Now, you'll never get any rewards for them. Nobody will ever think highly of you. They'll think that you're a fool because you believe the Bible. But one day, it will be seen by all of humanity that you were made wise by believing God's precious word. By faith, I want you to notice, it is essential for every aspect of our relationship with God to be governed. Faith plays an essential part in our relationship with God. We can't have a relationship with God unless we believe him. There are people who go to church and they say, well, I don't believe all the Bible. And they expect, having said that, to have a relationship with God. You can't go to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I actually think you're a liar in some of the things you say, but otherwise you're quite a nice person, and I'd like to be on friendly terms with you. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus saying, oh, that's all right. You and I will get along together very nicely, even though you think that I'm telling lies. You know that that couldn't be. No, you can't be the friend of God. You can't walk with God You can't know God's blessing in your daily life unless you believe him in everything he says, boys and girls. That's why I read to you verse 6, which tells us very clearly, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, I better mention Abel and then I'll close. As we go down this chapter, we'll be looking at various individuals and how their relationship with God was governed by their faith in him. And here we find Abel at worship. And he could not worship God acceptably, except he believed God. That's what made the difference between him and Cain. Today, Cain is in hell. Abel is in heaven. Why is that so? Well, it's explained to us. Verse 4. Look at it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The sacrifice that Abel offered unto God was more excellent, more acceptable to God than that which Cain offered, because he offered unto God that which God required, God demanded, God commanded, and Abel believed God. And he brought to God a lamb. That's what God had commanded, that be brought to him. You see, God had made a promise that there would come a Messiah. It was the one that John the Baptist introduced on the banks of the Jordan. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what the people had from the very Garden of Eden understood the Messiah to be. He would be the Lamb of God. The sacrifice that God had ordained for their salvation. And to show their faith in the coming Messiah. Generation offered a lamb was killed, its blood was shed, and its flesh was burned upon the altar. And the people were saying, oh God, this lamb represents my faith in the coming Messiah. And Abel did that, but Cain didn't. Cain didn't bring a lamb. When Cain came to worship God, he brought the fruits of the ground, the labors of his own hands. That'll do, God, he said. What I have labored at, what I have done, my works, that'll do, God. But it didn't, and Cain was rejected. Abel was accepted because he brought what God required. He believed God. Boys and girls, you can go the path of Abel, or you can follow the path of Cain. You can follow the footsteps of Abel and give as a sacrifice to God that which he required. And that which the Lord requires of you is for you to believe in the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. Those who follow the path of Cain follow the path of their own works. When I pray, that'll get me into heaven. When I give to charities, that'll get me into heaven. When I go to church, that'll get me into heaven. When I be kind to my neighbor, that'll get me into heaven. My own works. No, boys and girls, we'll only get to heaven by the blood of the Lamb. And God wants to know you're trusting and believing in the blood of the Lamb. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, please write your word upon the hearts of the boys and the girls. Bless them today as they go on their walk through the woods. May they be very conscious that through the woods there's a path to be followed. Just as in life, God has set out a path that they must follow. Bless the whole school, take care of it, and meet its every need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.